You would in your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Echo. Proverbs chapter 3. Enjoy the music, as I always enjoy the music at our church. So thankful for how God's blessed in that way. And I did get permission. I've had lots and lots of people ask about when the activity center is going to be done. And so I will give you a date. Y'all ready? We're going to have a date that possibly may happen. Could maybe not happen, but it might. It's a target. It's a target we're shooting at. It may mean we hit the target. It may mean we miss the target. But we do have a target. I'm trying to find another illustration for this. I'll find another one in a minute. But the target date is Anniversary Sunday, so the last Sunday in March. And so that'll be the 15th year anniversary. That's going to be awesome. And we got looking forward to a good day. We have the Mark Trammell Quartet coming in that weekend. Some of you have heard the Mark Trammell Quartet. They're very, very good. So they'll come in and do a concert on Saturday evening, and then be with us Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. Kind of what we did with the Echoes here. Is that what the name of them? Well, who do we have? Yeah, the Dixie Echoes here a few years ago when we dedicated this building. Had them in. So, but I will tell you, the Mark Trammell Quartet is on a whole nother level, and you will enjoy them. Very, very good. That's what Sherman had when they beat us. They had that quartet anyway. but anyway, so we're hoping that the gym, the activity center, will be ready by then. And so we'll pray that way and pray that it does. And it'll be awesome to have the feeding out there, the eating in that area. Sure, keep us from having to fill up every room in this other in our educational building. And so we'll look forward to that. I was blessed to be able to go out to California this week with my son and Victor. Us three piled into Caleb's truck. That's a whole other story. I'm thankful that we had Brother Kevin Davis and Kowser Tire looked after it before we got it all ready to go. And so we drove out there that 20-something hours, 22 hours. We got there about 3:30 in the morning, Wednesday morning. And so we drove up to the campus, and they call it the Baptist City. It's just a big campus out on the edge of town in Lancaster, California. And so we walk, drive up there, and they have a campus, campus security, and tell them we're here. So anyway, we ended up sleeping on bunk beds that morning for a couple hours, and then checking the motel a little later. But just, it was great to spend some time with Caleb and Victor on the way out there, and then get to spend time with them a couple of days, along with Miss Sarah Harrison. And Miss Sarah Harrison, if you didn't know, has gotten engaged, and they're planning on, I hope this is all right for me to say, planning on getting married during Christmas time. So Robbie, her fiance, is just a good man. And so we're thankful for what God's doing through our kids out there. Tyler King made it out there as well, and I just missed them by a few hours because I flew out yesterday morning early. And so Tyler King and his dad made it out there, and I'm sure he'll be headed back, flying back. So be in prayer for our Bible college students. I know we mention them a lot, but they need our prayers. They really do. I want to say one more thing, and we'll get started. I was told the deacons this morning, we have a deacons prayer meeting every Sunday morning, by the way. I know not all of our new people may not know that. But every Sunday morning, the deacons, we meet at 8:30, and we pray together. We kind of talk, before we pray, we talk about things going on at the church, and then we talk about prayer needs. And I was just expressing to them what a blessing it is to go out to Lancaster and see a church that runs 5,000 or 6,000. They run several thousand, just a big church. And their Wednesday night service, I promise you, was no different than our Wednesday night service. Music was the same. Prayer meeting was the same. Now, they didn't take up prayer requests from the floor like we do. They had them printed on a bulletin. So they had to you had to call in and have them pre-printed on the bulletin. Same thing, families praying together, hour long, very conservative music. It was amazing. There are churches, doing the job, staying by the stuff, conservative, reaching people for Jesus. I in California. And so I just want to encourage you. Just stand right where we're at. I had a friend this week. Last week, a friend I talked to on the phone said, I've decided to go a different direction. Pastor's a nice church. Just decided he's going to go a different direction. A lot of my friends have gone a different direction. And by that I mean they've gone contemporary. Just say it. We just need to stay by the stuff. There are churches, conservative. We're not dinosaurs. We're not extinct. There are still churches out there, and God's blessed our church. And I've always said, if we want to work like we want to run 500 or 1,000 or whatever, and whatever God gives us, He gives us. But we're going to work hard at trying to reach people. We're going to try to organize and agonize and put things together so we can reach more people. And we've certainly trying, and with God's help, we continue to go forward. I still believe at Heritage Baptist Church, our church family, that we have a tremendous opportunity in this community to do something that truly is of God, and we are doing that. I believe that now. But something, I use the word sometimes unexplainable. In other words, you can't calculate it. God could do greater things than we can ever imagine. And we just need to stay by the stuff, depend upon Him. There's no need to change our music. And I believe biblically, conviction-wise, we won't. No need to change the King James Bible. No need to change. We're just going to stay by the stuff. No need to change our moral standings, because our moral standings are based upon the Scripture. We're just going to stay by the stuff. And we're going to do so in love and be kind about it. We can disagree without being disagreeable and so forth. And we ought to preach the truth in love. And we try to do the best job we can at doing that. But at the same time, it's okay to mention Mormons from the pulpit. It's okay to mention, our moral standing from the pulpit. It's okay to stand up. And so I hope that we don't, as a pastor, I don't cross the line of being unkind about it. And we certainly want to be kind about it, but we want to preach the truth. And I'm thankful for churches out there that are larger than us. And I don't know what God has in store for our church, but it's great to see churches that are larger than us staying by the stuff, doing it the old way, and remaining the old paths. I'm just going to stay in the old paths, amen? And I could stay and get a lot of amens from this, but keep on going. But I just want to let you know that as a pastor, that I have I am not leaning to the left. I lean to the right. Thus the scripture tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Let's read verse 5, but we're going to major on verse 6 tonight. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your love. We pray that You again would be with us tonight. Encourage us, Lord. We pray that we would continue to be guided by You as we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We preached on this particular scripture a couple of times, and especially last year we touched on this, especially the very first part, the verse number 5, because we were our theme that year, of course, last year, along the lines of trusting in the Lord. And Peter, at thy will, we preached on this, and it was called Be Careful Where You Lean. Tonight I want to major on verse 6, that we should acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Let me just let you understand tonight that God has given us some great promises. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The better promises described for us in the Word are related to our life in Christ. That in Christ we have promises that He's given to us. In fact, we have great and precious promises. Or if you want to use the word, better promises. I'm glad I have the promise of salvation. I know you are as well, that we have the promise of the coming Savior, that we have the blessed hope to look forward to. I'm glad that the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that I stand as an adopted son and you an adopted daughter of Jesus Christ, of God, by way of Jesus Christ. I'm glad today that I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The promise of His abiding presence, that He is with us, and that we should be totally dependent upon Him. In other words, as we abide in Him, we ought to depend totally upon Him. How do we do this? By confessing Him, by walking with Him. And the results of that, the results of abiding in Him is answered prayers. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have struggled with your prayer life and getting answers to prayer? Well, it has a lot to do with our devotion to Him and abiding in Him and walking with Him. We should walk daily with Him, and the fruit of that is answered prayer. The fruit of that is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness of character. Man, I want to live a moral, clean life. I want to live a godly life. Jesus said, "Be holy, for I am holy." I want to live a holy life unto God, a separated life. The fruit of abiding in Christ is a fruit of character, and that is living a righteous life, right living. The fruit of abiding in Christ is having the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth. And we're going to preach on the fruit of the Spirit towards the end of this year on Sunday mornings. But we experience them, as we abide in Christ, fruit. Are you a fruit bearer? One of the evidences of abiding in Christ is that you bear fruit. That you bear fruit. Also the fruit of soul winning. One of the evidences of abiding in Christ and having the Holy Spirit living in you and walking in the Spirit is that you have a compassion, that we should have a compassion for souls. Leading others to Christ, bringing others to church. It was good to see visitors bringing visitors this morning. We had visitors who brought visitors. That's awesome. And as church members, as a church family, we need to continue to look around us to our neighbors and to our co-workers and family members and invite people to come to church. Invite people to come to the Savior. Witness to them. Give them a track. Be involved. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness of soul winning. That we leave a track. And I'm up and down in this in my own self, which is terrible as a pastor. We need to keep tracks on us and pass them out and be fruitful. There are tracks out in the foyer, both foyers. Encourage you to do so. As we abide in Him, we experience one of the greatest things we experience is joy. I touched on it this morning, but Jesus Christ came to give us life and give us life more abundant. He came to give us joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I want to experience and have that joy continually. Joy is not dictated by happenstance. Joy is not dictated by circumstance. We can experience joy all the time. One of the results of abiding in Christ is victory over sin. One of the evidences of abiding in Christ is having our needs supplied. As we abide in Him, as we seek Him, He supplies our needs. Abide in Him. Abide in the vine. The vine supplies sap to the branches. We are the branches, right? The vine gives life to the branches. Gives nourishment to the branches. Gives strength to the branches. I don't want to be a fruitless mulberry tree. Remember when those were real popular? When I was a kid, man, everybody's planting fruitless mulberry trees. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? When I was a kid, you know, back in the early 80s, everybody had a fruitless mulberry tree. That was the thing because they grew fast and whatever. Well, they were trash trees. And it didn't take long as they grew up. They killed out everything else. You couldn't grow grass under them. And then they began, about 20 or 30 years into it, they began to fall apart. They're fast-growing trash trees. I don't want to be a fruitless mulberry tree. I want to be an oak. I want to be an oak. I want to be what we planted out in front of the church here on the north side. I want to be an oak tree. I had the opportunity in California on Thursday to get away by myself a little bit. I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm going to now. I just needed some time, and I felt like the greatest way to do that is to go hiking. I know you wouldn't believe that about me. You say, "Pastor, how do you?" I like to hike. I like to get out and just walk and pray and think. It was awesome. So on Thursday, I got up early and I drove up to the Sequoia National Forest. I'd never seen the Sequoia trees. My goodness. By myself, went up there, hiked down and saw the Sherman tree, which is the largest, in volume, the largest tree in the world. Amazing. Amazing. If you ever get a chance, go do it. And then I walked. I hiked several miles. I'm still sore. Very, very sore. I walked several miles. I saw these trees. Man, just humongous trees. I think the Sherman tree is 35 feet in diameter at the bottom. 35 feet around. Amazing. 200 and something feet tall. 14, you know, it's just amazing. I just cannot believe how By the way, the sequoia tree can withstand fire. It's amazing. They're amazing trees. Fire comes through there. Most 9 times out of 10, they live. Because their bark is like 12 inches thick. It's amazing. I want to be a sequoia tree for the Lord. I want to be a sequoia tree. I just want to plant down deep, understand where I come from, depend upon the Lord, and no matter what the fires that come through, just keep on standing. It's funny how the sequoia trees will stand. And by the way, on the sequoia trees, there are burn marks. Most of them have burn marks on them from fires from, could be 100 years ago. It's just amazing. We need to abide in Him. We need to walk in Him. By the way, it's good to get alone every once in a while, right? There was no cell phone service in the sequoia forest there. Oh, it's nice. Not that I love everybody. I love you, and I love you, I love you, I love you. But sometimes, y'all know how it is. So we spent about 4 or 5 hours there. We must understand that our strength comes from the Lord. Our nourishment comes from the Lord. We need Him. I'm glad for His promises. I'm glad that He has promised to never leave me nor forsake me. I'm glad of the liberty we have in Christ and that we have access to the Father through Him. He is the great mediator, and we've been accepted and beloved by way of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 tells us. I'm glad that we have access. Just as a child has access to his dad, I'm glad I'll spend some time with my dad after church tonight. I'll call him on the phone and spend 20, 30 minutes. He is the person I talk to the longest on the phone ever. And we talk on the phone. I have that same access to God by way of Jesus Christ. What a great promise we have. As a child of God, whom God loves, He loves you, by the way. He loves you. You are a precious treasure to Him. As a child of God, He guards you. You realize that? The devil can't touch you without God's approval. We know that from the book of Job. He guards you. As a child of God, He instructs you. He instructs us. He corrects us. He counsels us through His Word. And lastly, He guides. And I think about this verse tonight. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. As our guide, the Lord Jesus Christ is out in front of us, bringing us along. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as we think about the Lord guiding us, a guide is out in front, leading us along. That He is there beforehand. He knows what lies beyond the bend. You know, our lights only shine out front, and they can't see around the corner until we get around it. But God sees around the corner. He knows everything that's going to happen in your life. He knows every situation that you are going to face tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and a month from now and 2 years from now. God knows everything that will happen. And as our guide, we ought to acknowledge His abilities. In other words, His ability to see around the corner. We ought to acknowledge Him, that we are dependent upon Him. Acknowledge Him in everything. In everything, in all thy ways, in everything, acknowledge Him. Recognizing His authority in your life. I was reading today, and you know, we are His subjects. We don't think of that very often. The name Lord means boss. He is our boss. We are His subjects. He's the general. We're merely soldiers. He's the creator of all things. He's creator. Therefore, we're subject to Him. We're subject to His authority. And why wouldn't we want to be? He sees around the corner. We should acknowledge that He understands and knows everything about us and everything that's going to happen, and acknowledge our dependence upon Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. In everything, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge our dependence upon Him in everything in life. And by saying talk to Him, I mean tell Him that. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to say it. God wants you to say it. He wants you to kneel and say, Lord, I humbly kneel before You. Lord, I acknowledge that You're my authority. Lord, I acknowledge my dependence upon you. I need you. I need you. God wants us to acknowledge that. Well, you know, he knows that. It's kind of like saying, I don't have to tell my children I love them. They know it. Well, they know it. You know, time is spelt, love is spelt T-I-M-E. If you're spending time with them, they know you. But they need to hear it. They want to hear it. Tell your kids you love them. Dads, some of you old school dads who don't like to, tell your children you love them. Tell them you love them. God wants us to acknowledge his authority. God wants us to acknowledge our dependence upon him. And he wants us to tell him, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. And when we are weak, he is strong. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, a man's heart deviseth his own ways, but the Lord directs his steps. What the verse is saying is, left to ourselves, we go astray. Left to ourselves, we go astray. Our heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man, we have a tendency, because of our flesh, just to stray away. We have to continue to follow the Lord. Acknowledge him, and what? He will direct thy paths. He will direct thy paths. Sometimes he directs our paths, and the direction does not make any sense. Been there? Been there where God is, you feel God's directly leading you to do something, but it doesn't quite make sense. But you acknowledge his reasons for it and his authority. It's kind of like Israel. When Israel came up out of Egypt, the shortest route to Promised Land would have been along the Mediterranean Sea, the coast. But instead, the Lord led them down, Moses led them down there to the Red Sea. Why did he not lead them up to the Mediterranean Sea and then come across on the coast? And man, they would have been in the Promised Land just within a few days. But yet they took the long way. Why? Well, because along the coast was the Philistines. And the Philistines at that time would have been more powerful and greater than Israel. And Israel would have gotten discouraged. We say, well, they got discouraged anyway. The Pharaoh's army was following them. Yeah, but God wanted to show them his power. And that God wanted to show them where he leads, he feeds. And where God guides, he provides. I'm telling you, God led them the long way down to the Red Sea. And there they became and were put in an impossible situation, humanly speaking. But let me tell you tonight, God can do the impossible. And he did. Let me show the salvation of the Lord, Moses said. Boom, and the waters parted. At least a mile wide. We kind of still get this idea it was a little narrow gap there in the Red Sea, and everybody kind of walked sideways through it. It was at least a mile. It had to be a mile wide to get that million or 2 million people across the Red Sea in overnight. Had to be. Imagine that. I love the way Psalms describes the water as it parted and it congealed. It said it turned into jello. I still love that. I like the idea of somebody, some kid walking along and sees a fish caught in the jello and just gets the fish out of the jello. Wouldn't that be awesome? Mom, I have supper. Or breakfast on occasion. But God did the impossible. Where he guides, he provides, and where he leads, he feeds. We understand and know that. And he led Israel the long way. So sometimes it does not always make sense. God will direct, not always in a straight way. Again, think about Israel coming out of Egypt, going the long way. But it was the better way. It saved their lives. So sometimes the direction goes against reason. Remember Peter? Launch out into the deep. Lord, we fished all night. Nevertheless, at thy word. In other words, Lord, I trust you. I don't trust this. I don't trust this. I trust you. And we need to keep our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Depend upon him. He will direct. He will guide. I love this. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. It's a great passage. So Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, is preaching to the next generation. All right? So the Exodus generation has died. And those who came up out of Egypt have died except for Caleb and Joshua. And the book of Deuteronomy is merely Moses preaching to the children of Israel about their history, reminding them of where they came from and what God did for them in Egypt. And here's just another good reminder. He says in chapter 31, So you got to think about Moses. He's 120, and he's preaching this like a sermon. He's preaching to the children of Israel. And he says, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them," verse 1, now I'm in verse 2, Deuteronomy 31. "And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan." God told him because he smote the rock, he couldn't go cross over the river Jordan into the promised land. Verse 3, "The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee." What does it say? "Before thee. And he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and Og." Remember Og, back in Deuteronomy chapter 3, it says that his bed was 13 and a half feet long. He was the last of the giants, the Bible says. He was a big, big king. You imagine that? 13 and a half foot long bed. "And God said to them, the Lord shall do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according to unto all the commandments which I have commanded you." Verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." Inheritance is not earned. Inheritance is given. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee," go before thee, go before thee, "and he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Listen, as God guides us, he goes with us. It's one thing to guide someone. It's another thing to go with them. God is there beside us, leading us and directing us, caring for us. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. God will go before you. He led the children of Israel in the wilderness by a cloud by day and a fire by night. We always call it the wilderness wanderings, but really it wasn't wilderness wanderings. It was wilderness being led. God led them in that wilderness. So when God directs us, sometimes it makes no sense. Sometimes it's not exactly straight. But we must understand where he guides, he brings us with him. He goes with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. As he directs us, we must understand the triune God is involved in this. The Bible says in John 16 that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And I know it's speaking there of the Word of God, but as we think about it, Jesus said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, which was a quote of an Old Testament verse. God, the Bible says in Romans 8 and Romans 5, that as we walk in the Spirit, we are led by God. So the Holy Spirit leads us into the Word of God and into all truth. Jesus said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And God has said as we walk in the Spirit that we'll be led by God. The triune God is involved in his guidance. The Bible is involved in direction in life. In fact, I believe this is the most prominent one, maybe besides the Holy Spirit. The prominent guidance comes from God's Word. It's a torch, it's a light, it's a lamp unto our feet and light unto our life. It's the roadmap for life. Everything in life is found here. The answers are found here. The Bible's relevant. That's a code word in the contemporary churches today. The Bible's relevant. Everything in the Bible's relevant to today. Most relevant book ever written. And as we think about finances, we think about marriages, if we think about raising kids, it's funny to me. I'm going to do away with my Facebook account. I keep saying that, but I still look on there once in a while. And I see parents struggling raising their kids. And sometimes it is a struggle. And I certainly don't want to laugh at them because we had our own struggles. And we won't go into that tonight. But understanding that God's plan for raising children still works. I personally, we did not use timeouts growing up with our kids. It's not found in the Bible. I mean, certain age, you start using other methods, but listen, when those kids are small, before the age of 8 years old, okay, I'll get off the hobby horse. But understanding that the Bible is our roadmap, it's our guide. The best way to raise your children is to use the Bible. The best way to apply your finances is to use the Bible. The best way to deal with friendships, the best way to deal with co-workers, the best way to deal with bosses is found in the Bible. It's good stuff. The Bible is our guide. The Holy Spirit leads us into a clear understanding of the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that illuminates us, helps us to understand. By the way, the preacher is not the only one who understands the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You can understand that much of the Word of God as I can. Amen. Do a little digging. Do a little studying. Pray that God would open your eyes, that I may behold wondrous works out of thy law, the psalmist tells us. I usually pray that before I read my Bible every morning. Lord, help me. Open thou mine eyes that I may understand wondrous works. I want to understand what I'm reading that in order that the Word of God may bear fruit in my life. The Bible fills in most of the blanks. In other words, you say, well, I don't know what to do in this given situation. I don't know what to do in that given situation. Well, the Bible fills in most of the blanks. As you read your Bible, as you study the Word of God, it's kind of like a cross. Your life is kind of like a crossword puzzle. And as you read your Bible and pray, you find that most of the crossword puzzle fills in itself. There's just a couple of letters sometimes that are missing. And that's where the Spirit of God comes in. And that's where the guidance of God comes in. But listen, 95% of your life and the guidance you need is found right here, written for you. We make such a big deal. I don't know what to do, this or that or what. Well, it's most of it's found here. I'm saying 90%, not most of your needs, most of my needs for guidance are found in the Word of God. The spaces are already filled in for you. You just got to study it, read it, apply it, and the Word of God will guide you. Somebody gave me that illustration years ago. I think it's a good one. Crossword puzzle. Most of it's filled in. Therefore, I'm praying and seeking God's face and with the help of the Holy Spirit, filling in the letters that are not quite there. But sometimes we get discouraged by the two or three letters that are not there. Pray until God gives you the letters, right? Hold on until God gives you the letters. Be patient until God gives you the rest of the blanks. Don't make a move until God gives you the rest of the blanks. Wait for the door to open. Amen? But study and read the Word of God. It fills in most of the blanks for you. And then we understand that there's comfort and found and guidance in the guidance of God. We are confident in His guidance. In other words, I enjoy talking with my dad. I'll do so tonight. And there are many times I ask him questions. And I ask him questions of wisdom, of things that are going on in my life and maybe my family, but also in the church. And I seek his guidance. But can I tell you, his guidance is as good as a wise man. He's a man of great common sense. I love that about my dad. Just common sense. By the way, that's lacking in a lot in our world today, especially up there in that place up there where they got a White House and other big white buildings. But understand that I do enjoy my dad's wisdom and what he says, but I have confidence in where God guides me. In other words, I may not always be able to depend upon my earthly dad's wisdom, but I can depend upon God's wisdom. And I can have total confidence that where He leads me, again, that He will guide, that He will feed me. In other words, we ought to lean not into our own understanding. It's okay. Again, there's wisdom in multitude of counselors. The Bible tells us that. But understanding, we should go to the Lord first. As we seek guidance, we should go to the Lord first. Before we seek man's guidance, we should go to the Lord first. I believe it should be and seek guidance. I don't believe you should seek the Lord and not seek guidance unless the Lord gives you a clear path. He fills in some of the blocks for you. But we should understand that where the Lord, again, He leads, that He has infinite wisdom. We just need to get back to the compass book. This is the roadmap in our life. Let me give you a few more things here. God leads perfectly. He did so for Israel in the wilderness. He'll do so for you. God leads, I love this one, patiently. Aren't you glad God is patient with you? I'm glad God is patient with me. God leads patiently. Maybe we should apply that too with people, other people in our life as well. I like this one. God leads powerfully. Think of what he did for the Israelites in the wilderness. Provided water out of a rock. Not a water fountain either. The Bible says the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. It was a raging river that came out of that rock. It had to supply water for 1 or 2 million people and their animals. Their animals. It gave them honey out of the rock. It gave them oil out of the rock. For those of you from Yankee Land, oil out of the rock. God supplied their needs, the needs of all. It gave them quail in the evenings. They just had to pick it up, and they were ready to put them on the fire. Dove season's coming up. God provided for them in a great and mighty way. Listen, and not even discounting the 10 plagues that he performed. I'm telling you, God showed himself to be a great and mighty and powerful God. And listen, the God of the Jews is the God of today. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And God's just as powerful today as he was back then. And God will guide you in a powerful, powerful way. He is perceptive. In other words, he knows what lies ahead. He knows what lies beyond the bend. I like this one. He has provided beforehand for you. You don't even know it yet. I don't even know it yet. But he's provided beforehand. Isn't that good? I didn't come up with that. Read it somewhere. He provided beforehand. I want to again emphasize, he's not just our guide, he's our companion. That he will go with us. Mark chapter 16, he goes with you. Psalm 48 says he goes with us even unto death. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth us up beside the still waters. What a great, mighty God we have. Trust in the Lord. Lean not into thine own understanding. Be careful about our own wisdom. In all thy ways, in everything, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Depend upon him in all things. Recognize, let him know of your dependence. In other words, acknowledge your need for him. Lord, I need you. He will direct you. He will lead. He will feed. All the way. Every day. Even to death. God's good. All the time. We need to be dependent upon him. As we enter the week, we started the first day of the week today, by the way. No matter what the world tells you. Sunday's not the weekend. That's Friday and Saturday. First day of the week is today. And as we enter upon our week, we need the Lord. We need the Lord. Let's all stand. Hymn 118, and appropriate. I need thee every hour. Hymn 118, Brother Wiggins didn't even know what I was preaching on. I need thee every hour. God, we understand and know that you are a loving and gracious Savior. And Lord, we do not pretend to understand sometimes the direction you take us. But Lord, we pray that you would continue to strengthen us, enable us to depend totally upon you. Lord, we thank you that you do show your power and your evidence. And God, I pray that we would acknowledge again our dependence upon you. Lord, just help us as we go throughout the week. Help us to walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. Help us to live in light of your return. God, we praise you and thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.